and ever keeping an eye out unto the Lord, and the other eye on caring for people. Lord, may your church be blessed today. Our hearts rise. In Christ's name we pray, and together we say, amen. Return to the book of 1 Thessalonians, dear church. We're in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we close out the chapter here today. And this precious book. And not knowing really how long these believers at Thessalonica were Christians, or how mature some of them may have been in their faith, and or how young in the faith some may be. But regardless, Paul, he deems it necessary to remind them of some very fundamental truths here, which we all hold dear. We all learn to pray and to act according to the words of Scripture ever since we were born again as kids or as adults or whatever. And it's these truths that we hold dear into our heart. And if you remember the words of Paul in Hebrews, he said, I should be feeding you milk or meat right now. But he says, you're still just in first and second grade as Christians, so I've got to keep teaching you the elementary things. So Paul is an amazing man of God, a powerful apostle, and knew the power of the life-changing work of Christ in his own life, because he was top dog on the other side of the tracks in the name of religion. And here he is, just a powerful, beautiful, humble man, and the strong apostle, the one that Lord laid on his charge to establish churches, and as he would go to the churches and administering discipline and guidance and what it was, whatever need was be, they listened to him. So Paul here, we just on Wednesday night finished up studying Philemon, and there to watch and listen to Paul as he presents himself not as the authoritarian apostle, but he comes with such soft words and with such passion, with such love and pleading for the case of the runaway slave Onesimus to Philemon, who Philemon himself was a convert through Paul's ministry. So the Apostle Paul, and what we find and what we read here in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's kind of always tough to say 1 Thessalonians 5, because you got to get done with the S and the T and then go to the F real fast. So 1 Thessalonians 5, and so here we go. And you would find these same words in his other epistles. It's an amazing thing. I mean, we just finished with chapter 4, and there forever we shall be with the Lord, and great words of comfort we find there. And then we moved into chapter 5, and there it talks about the transition then to the day of the Lord, because after the church leaves, which is that next great event, then the day of the Lord begins, when he brings justice and righteousness in the very outpouring of his wrath on a sin-cursed world. So he brings us down, and in those verses, and in verse 5, remember that he says, you're sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And combined with verse number 9, for he says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear friends, when we trust Christ as our Savior, you're looking under the cross, and because there on the cross, Christ took the wrath of God for our sins. So he took our sins and placed them on his own Son and poured out his wrath and his justice on his Son. So then we look unto Christ. We look unto Christ and by faith trust him for his healing and saving power. And therefore, we are forgiven and we are redeemed. And we will never have to face the wrath of God. It sounds almost unbelievable. And apart from the grace and the love of God, it is. But in Christ, it is not only believable, but you can know it and you can have it, and to have Christ as your Savior. So knowing that the Christians will not go through the tribulation. So it comes to the final instructions here in this chapter, beginning there at chapter verse number 4. And we're going to read from 4 down. I think we'll go to the end of the chapter, okay? And these are the final instructions. You may even have that heading in your Bible, depending on which one you have. It's the final instructions and a benediction in this here first this first letter. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 12 and following, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. These are words to the church. And then he goes on in 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Once again, right in the body of Christ. See then, verse 15, that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. In verse 16, rejoice always. You know, rejoice always is actually the shortest verse in the Bible. Many times we think or say that Jesus wept. Actually, Jesus wept in the Greek has three words. Rejoice always is two words. Just a little fun note. That's all it is. Just a little fun note. Rejoice always, period, bang. How often? No matter what's happening, we rejoice what? Why, church, why? Because everything we just sang about and talked about, because Christ is Lord. And He is your Savior, your Redeemer. He's your Shepherd. He rules the universe, and He shepherds your heart. How can He do this? Because He is God. That's amazing. He shepherds. So no matter what, we can rejoice. And as we pour our broken hearts out unto Him, our challenged hearts, our fearful hearts, we can rejoice knowing that He hears, He loves, He cares, He promises, He answers. He's our everything. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Get in this powerful benediction, and now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and that make your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Then he turns it around and he says, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And everybody says, amen. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. My dear friends, if Christ would, if the Lord would pull back His grace for one moment, we're done. And here He says, and it's in the way that He says, may His grace be not just there, but be manifest. So real. So in love with Him. So pouring His love into you. And you abide in that grace. You rest in that grace. You obey in that grace. And your faith will be strengthened. And knowing that in all things, you can sing that other little song we sang ever since kids. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the what tells me so? For the Bible tells me so. Because the Bible tells me so, because it's the words of Christ. He loves me. So these final instructions, And looking here, we're just going to travel down through these verses this morning and look at them and just draw this out. And may our hearts be so enriched. And remember, you should probably go back and reread the chapters of this short letter and see what he has to say as he comes into it here. In verses 12 through 24, it is like, continue to grow now in your holy Christian character and in your conduct. He just said, you know, teaches about the rapture, teaches about what's going to happen then after the church goes, and what's going to happen in this old world when Christ pours out his wrath. He says, while all these things are happening, he says, you keep doing life. You keep pressing on. You ain't dead. You're alive in Christ. We live because Christ lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And onward we go. And so these final instructions is keep living. And he addresses church life and family life. Because we as the church are made up of families. And so we are the family of God. We are families within the family of God. So he teaches how to address and how you treat your leadership and caring for your leadership and your pastor. And knowing that how your leadership and all that they do and pour into you and care for you, things that the church doesn't realize, but yet when we come together and to worship, or knowing that we are part of the body of Christ here, these things we realize because leadership is faithful and providing a safe place and a spiritually profitable place for us to grow in the Lord. And you know, dear friends, in case you're not aware, we all celebrate an anniversary next Sunday. You say, what? As we begin 22 years together next Sunday. How about that? I'm happy with that. Are you happy with that? I'm happy with that. And to have loved on you, and you know, I got to tell you this, you know, people ask me, well, how did you stay at one church 20 some years? And I said, that's easy. They love my wife, and they put up with me. So as long as I don't mess that up, I'm all right. And but to have labored, I don't like to preach what I have to say right here. I don't, because I don't like to talk about myself in these kind of serious tones. But my dear loved ones, I have labored to bring you the Word of God. I labor at it to be sure that it's rightly divided. And I come alongside you, and your elders come alongside you, and the ministries that are going on right now in this church into our families is powerful. Just the love and the instruction and coming alongside each other. That you grow in the Lord and you got straight heads and solid hearts. And your soul is a powerful kingdom in it. You look at it this way, your soul is just a powerful kingdom, and your heart's the castle. And knowing that as you grow, and we love it when from our castle walls, just the victory flags of peace are flying. But that's not always true. Sometimes how the enemy assault and just the brokenness of life, sin in the old world, and how it affects us either directly or in our families or friends, and when we experience great losses. Sometimes the flags are just not very happy. Sometimes it feels like the enemy has thrown up ladders and scaled the walls, and they're inside the castle of my heart. And at times we can sit here in church with each other and in our nice clothes and our happy faces, but inside, as we hear the word preached, the missiles are going off. We're going ballistic because of what's happening in our life right now, things that we're struggling with, and just the very testimony of what's going on, the reality of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, we stay true to him. And as long as the Lord deems me to be here, I always vow to you to serve you. You have been blessed in this church with powerful leadership long before I ever came around here. You're blessed. And quite frankly, the success of my pastoral leadership, I owe a lot. The most of it to my elders, to the team of elders that have surrounded me for these years. I didn't plan to say all this, but I am blessed. You're blessed, church. You have great elders, deacons, deaconesses in this church. Oh, they're beautiful. They're amazing. All the work and the labors. Your Sunday school teachers, you watch after a bit. And the teachers that have been teaching your children for years, long before I ever came around here. Still going the steps. Still preparing for Sunday mornings. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get big paychecks. Oh, no, they don't. Nobody does. It's the love of God in hearts. They serve. Your teachers serve. You watch your little kiddies go out. And they are right directly below us in good hands, being taught the Word of God. So I laud you, teachers. I laud the leadership. Serving the Lord with gladness, growing in Christ, respect and honor. Just respect one another and honor each other and obey your leaders. In Hebrews 13, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul. Your soul. So bless them and thank them. And they will give an account. We all will. You know, pastors are held to a much higher account. We stand before the Lord. It's a double. And to labor in the Lord. And the love of Christ. So, and then when things have to happen, he says here, conduct yourselves and esteem them highly and make their work pleasurable. And when they have to address situations that are not nice to address in the church and in the body of Christ, there shouldn't be negative things or bad, selfish, painful things going on, but that's where it happens because we're human beings and the old devil works. The old devil, he's not in the bars this morning or he's not in all the gambling casinos or whatever else. He's in church. He's in church. And he has his troops everywhere. There's probably one sitting right beside you and he's just bugging in your ear. Don't listen to the old goat up front. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Take care of your own needs and this and that. Blah, blah, blah. And on we go. Christ says, and he whispers, listen to the word, my child. Listen to the word. And he's praying for you. It's a very real thing going on. We don't see these warfares. One day we will. But they're very powerful. So, and when he says to admonish, he says to admonish here. Admonish. Now, when you admonish, remember now in the Greek, this comes with soft tone. There is the marks and the prefix that it comes with soft tone, not harshness, even in firmness. He says the admonishment, he says to love on each other and care for each other and be at peace with each other. Because love rules. We know that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes, hopes, endures all things, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. Love never fails. It's a powerful thing. It's love. That's why we reference Psalm 23, love. No matter what the situation is, every day, you should pray every day, Father, I need more love in my heart, Lord Jesus. My heart, you know, I'm not feeling very good. I'm feeling a little angry. I'm getting a little stressed, a little strained. I'm a little bit upset, a little more upset. Feel my heart. You got to fill my heart with your love. Fill my heart. I mean it. Fill my heart. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Pour your love into me. Because when you pour your love into me, all the junk and all the dirt and all the stink of my heart gets flushed out. And then I can think clear. And when the heart is ready and prepared and flowing with love, then what I got in my heart, what's coming in here of the Lord, can settle into my heart. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. So when the heart is right and overflowing in love with the Lord, then you know how to walk and to talk and to keep each other. The wisdom of God flows in and through your life. That's why you and I are children of light, and we manifest this with each other and then really explode it to a world out there they don't know how to live, but to live for themselves. So then be at peace with each other and help each other and comfort the feeble-minded, he says here. Recognize those who labor and esteem them. And verse 14, comfort those who are unruly and warn those who are unruly. You know, that's actually a military term, warn those who are unruly. The soldiers that won't stay in their ranks and they get out and they're just careless about it. And, you know, if the rank is wrong and the file is not right, well, the diagonals are going to be a mess too. You know, it's just like it's kind of a military call to keep everybody, you know, help each other keep in step with the master. That's all it's saying. Help one another. Watch out for each other. You know, don't get the eyeballs turned here all the time. Get them, flip them up. And watch out for each other and help the weak, he says. And they're the weak among you. You know, there's times in every Christian's life, and some more susceptible to others. And especially the closer you walk with the Lord, the stronger the attack of the devil. And help the spiritually weak. Don't go off at another corner and talk about them. Don't whisper about them to the next one, but run to them. Run to them in love and in care. And it's the same way with the people out there in society. They're just so confused. They've never heard truth. They don't know how to live. They don't know how to life, to love. They don't know what's right and what's wrong, what's of good morality, what is it. Get to them. Just get to them and don't pound them. You with wisdom and care, you love on them and give them scripture, and they're not even going to realize it. But it's truth, and truth, and they'll feel your love and your warmth. They'll hear truth, and God will take it from there. Get to people. Let the Lord alone be the judge, and be patient, he says, toward all men. And so there's no believer that at any time should not exercise patience with another believer. How's that working for you right in your own households? Yeah, your wife, your husband, they're believers in the Lord. So be patient with us, wifeies. All right. So there it is. How patient is the Lord with you? Come on. How patient is Jesus with each one of you? Long-suffering. He listens. He will chide. He will correct. But he is patient. Patient. It's one of the most beautiful virtues of a Christian, is patience. And resting in the Lord. And so it's just showing forth the Christ-like likeness in long-suffering. And 2 Corinthians 10:1 says about how Paul pleaded with the church at Corinthians in that whole chapter in Corinth. He pleaded this with them. Come on, church! He pleaded. And when you look at pleaded, he was really pouring his heart out. He was in tears. He pleaded for the church, for good health and family life in the church. Treat each other with love and care. Young Christians, still being nurtured and maturing in the Lord. Some of us have been Christians for almost 100 years now. How are we doing? How are we doing? And so, and then he goes on in 2 Peter. Peter says, and I love this because Peter makes a reference to what Paul says. Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:15. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, talking about the Lord's coming, all the things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Say that word. Peace. Peace with the Lord. Peace with each other. Okay? Peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote you according to the wisdom given him. So all through your scriptures, your New Testament, you have these very basic, elementary, fundamental principles of how to live and to love and to take care of each other and bless each other and live together in the Lord. Because when we are obeying the Lord, and then it just goes right on, and we're fine with each other, then the Spirit of God is not quenched. And our love with the Lord is just like, and you're happy. The joy of the Lord. And even if the situations are not happy full, and you're not really happy, His joy is not taken from you. So great words here and how to live. And he goes to verse number 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good. That's the golden rule, isn't it? What is the golden rule? Do unto others. Do we really function like that? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And to treat each other with care. Not evil for evil. This is such elementary counsel, but it's that old golden rule over and over and over again. Verses 15 and 16. And so have we advanced? Now, I'm serious in asking this question. How long have you been a Christian? Are you advancing? Are you growing? Are you mastering these doctrines, these rules, these commandments, these instructions? Are you taking them to heart? Or do you just come into church and do this thing, or sit down with your Devo and do this thing, and then you close it up, or we walk back out of here, and we put our own personal face back on, and away we go. And no one would ever know we was actually in church this morning. Treating each other with care. Because as the health of the family is, your own personal family, so goes into the health of the church family. And so the health of the church family is then reflected in the life of the church out there. And what they hear of the church at Green Spring, or whatever church body you are associated with or belong to, oh, they go to that Green Spring Church. See, your testimony, whether it's good or whether it's grumpy, bad, makes a reflection on the whole body of Christ. And we would always tell the kids, right, Nene? Remember who you are. You're steel. Remember whose you are. You're Christ. Remember. Because everything we do, we must do as unto the Lord. Just do it as unto the Lord. If we govern everything as unto the Lord, it's going to be good. So looking unto the Lord, no evil. So he goes down, let's flow in here to 17, 18, 19, and just here we go. Rejoice always, no matter what. It's in the power of the Lord. And pray without ceasing. Pray. All the things that bug, that hurt, that have just so knifed your heart and you don't know how to function. Remember, when you come before the Lord in prayer, the Spirit of God in Romans, he says, will make intercessions for you. Just do not neglect to come and bow before the Lord. Bring the problems. Rejoice, he says, pray always. Pray always. It doesn't mean you stay on your knees all the time. You know, that could get a little bit uncomfortable. But if he's talking about being in the attitude of prayer and being on your knees or being on your favorite chair with hands folded, you have times alone with the Lord. But what he's saying here, be in a constant conversation in mindfulness with Jesus. That's where it is. Constant. And actually some say, well, how in the world can I get my work done or do this and that if I'm constantly in mind with Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, if you're in your mind with Jesus, you're going to get all your other stuff done better. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm messing my things up, it's because my mind's on what me and what I'm doing, and my mind's not on the Lord Jesus, you know? So sometimes you just got to shake it up. You just got to just shake it up and go. Get the head cleared. Get the mind on the Lord. Your life should mature to the point where you're just growing in Him. You cannot not be thinking about Him. You can't. It's just like it's impossible not to think about your great Savior and His love in your heart. And pray with preparation. And when you go into the chamber with God, when you actually are going to really be quiet with God, you make sure you pray about your time you're going to be meeting Him. Okay? That's how you know I'm always accessible as much as I can be. You know that. But now, if you're actually going to request a little time, preacher, I've got to come see you. And you're going to actually kind of prepare for that. You're going to bring something into the little gathering, the meeting, right? Know that you pray about your time alone with the Lord, because the devil's going to be there if you don't, and he's going to mess it up. Or you're going to be there in your fleshly person and not your spiritual man, and you're going to mess it up. You mess it up a whole lot more, and I mess it up a whole lot more than what the devil ever does. So pray. Pray about your time alone with the Lord. Pray about it. And then move in and be alone with the Lord and rest in Him. So you pray with preparation. You pray with reverence. Do you realize who you're praying to? Do you realize who you're in conversation with? Wow, it's the God of the universe. The one who made you, made me. A one-on-one with God in all the time. One-on-one. So praying with reverence and realize who you're talking to and know that God is listening to you and desiring to answer you, and He's going to hear you before you even ever say anything. We take God for granted so bad. We're spoiled kids. Oh, may the Lord press on our hearts with love and reverence and who He is, and know that there is no man, nobody could ever approach the throne of God. There's only one who could, and that was He who came from God, the man Christ Jesus. And on Calvary's cross, through the shedding of His blood, His death, and His resurrection, He opened for us to the way. You remember that when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, how the curtain in the Holy of Holies, of which only the high priest went in there but once a year, it was ripped in two. Meaning, you and I, as a child of God, a priest of God, we can go to Him all the time. We need no other intercessor but Jesus Christ. For He has broken down that wall. So therefore, we pray with faith. Preparation, fear, reverence, faith. We pray with faith. Faith in the Lord, and we pray with perseverance. Didn't He say, ask, 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 knock. You're going to get it. It'll be given to you. How much faith? Mustard seed. That's not a whole lot of faith. Calling unto the Lord. A prayer, my dear friends, is our duty. It is a duty. Why is it our duty? Because God is our King. We are His subjects. He says, pray without ceasing. God is my Father. He's my Father. He's your Father, Christian. He's your Father. How precious is that? To come before the Lord and drawing near to Him in love and in care, and knowing that in all things, just always, we must consider what prayer is. He says, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, And for this is the will of God for you. And don't be quenching the Spirit of God. So prayer and the dignity of prayer and the power of prayer. And don't quench the Spirit. Well, how are you going to quench the Spirit of God in your life? Sin. Sin. Neglect. Do you realize that to neglect God is sin? Because if you're going to be neglecting God, then your heart, your allegiance is somewhere else. It's somewhere else. It's somewhere, but not under the Lord. And when the heart gets off the Lord, the eyes are going to get off the Lord, and the eyes gets off the Lord, it's because it's on somewhere else. And so, then we get hurt. Then we get hurt. Then we mess, and sometimes really bad. So, in this prayer, just, you know, you can quench the Spirit of God in your life just by resisting Him. When He's trying to teach you, just loving on you, pulling you closer, and you resist. And He says, you know, young man, you're not following Me. What are you doing messing around with this over here? What are you doing engaging in stuff that you're not supposed to be engaging in? You all have heard the Spirit of God talk into your heart and your life. Because He talks when He's calling you to Himself in salvation. It's the Spirit of God calling you. Calling you. Because you're made in the Spirit, you're made in the image of God, and your heart will always hear His voice. But will you heed? Will you listen? Because if you don't, then the heart gets hard. Harder and harder till you no longer hear Him. So do not quench the Spirit of God. Don't quench it by worldliness or any other thing. And look what He says here in verse 21. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Do a survey of everything in your life right now. And of it, what is good? What are you holding on to that is not good? What you hold on to and everything that is good, you hold on to the Word of God. You hold on to His truths. You hold on to what is right, what is true. You hold on, you hold on, you hold on. And also He says in one of His other letters, just choose what is right. Choose what is right. Choose to do what is right. Prove all things. And He goes right down here to verse number 23. How beautiful it is. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, completely. So when we put into practice how we live our love to the Lord, how we treat each other, how we just enjoying that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ every day as we talk and pray, and you say, God, I can't get what the prof wants in my studies right now. I just can't get it. I don't actually agree with him or her on this matter. I got a problem here. And so pray about it. And how many times I wasted hours upon hours upon hours lying under a piece of machinery trying to get a bolt stuck in a little hole because my knuckles wouldn't go the different directions and be like a swivel joint and say, God, I can't get this in. Help me. Then you just, phew. You just lay there in the dirt. I need help. He says, pick up the bolt. I got the bolt. Put it in. It went right in. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Be true. Be true. Fight the good fight of faith. Truth. Truth. Young folks in college, kids in school, you're faced with it all the time. Choose what is right. Choose what is true. Stand for Christ. Stand for Christ. He will honor you. Those around you are not the one directing your pathways. By God's choice. It is God's will that He directs your pathway. And that'll be right. So make that your choice unto the Lord. Choose what is good. And your heart and soul will grow up powerful in the Lord. You'll just love being God's child. You'll love speaking for Him. And when things go rotten and bad, sure am glad I got Jesus. Or better yet, sure am glad He's got me. And as we close, I warn you on this. People say, oh, well, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I pray you do. Oh, I pray you do. I pray you know Him as your Savior and as your Lord. Because you remember, the real question is, does He know you? Because the Lord knows whose are His. He knows each and every one who has given their heart and life by faith unto Him. That's the question. And so if you're not ever really sure of that, you ask Him. He wants to be the Lord and the love of your heart and soul. Ask Him. And if you need some more help to come alongside that, talk to the old sheepdog. That's why I'm here. You got beautiful elders here. You got beautiful women in this church. Deaconesses, leaders. You're surrounded by people who know the truth of the gospel. You ask Him, Lord, who can help me here? He'll direct you real quick. Because He wants to save your soul. He wants to be your dearest friend. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust Him. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. There's a beautiful song. How beautiful are the feet of those. And in there's the phrase, how beautiful the bride as she waits for her groom. And that's us. We're the bride. One day we'll hear the words, shout, the groom is here. He's coming. Make it a very happy day for the Lord, and it will be a most blessed day for you. Father, we thank You as we come to the close of this chapter in 1 Thessalonians. And God, we thank You so much for Your word. Your word is just, it bleeds life. It is powerful. And we thank You, God, and we pray that we take these words this morning as Lord Jesus, You've penned these words through Paul, and here we are, and Spirit of God, just burn it alive in our hearts. Do the surgery, do the healing, and do the strengthening and the sanctifying, and that we would lead lives consecrated unto You. Just bless, Lord, each one, and Father, that in all things, all of us in here, continue to grow and grow and grow, and keeping ever in mind the very elementary fundamentals and how we live and move and act and be. And just growing up stronger in the fullness of life, with knowing and understanding, realizing more and more power of the Lord, and serving You, God, powerfully, and through the very fruit of our own lives, people come to Christ. God, it's all beautiful. In that great day when it comes, when You said, I'll give You that crown of life to all of you who remain faithful to Me. But God, whatever crowns we get, whatever blessings, whatever commendations we get from You, God, at that great day, Lord Jesus, we're just going to give them all right back to You, because we know it's all You, Jesus. It's always You. Always will be You. And our desire is to simply be found in You. That is the safest place to be for all eternity. And we thank You in Jesus' name. And together we say, church, amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing song. And as the Lord has been speaking into your heart, you know what you need to do. You want to come pray. You never trusted Christ as Savior. Come to the Lord and talk to the Lord. Just obey. You know what He's talking to you about. Now obey Him. Okay. And how happy your heart will be. Shall we stand as we sing, I Gave My Life for Thee?
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad alone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Oh, dear Father, we praise you this morning and thank you for your one and only Son who you gave to us. You sent him to us to die for us, and whoever believes in him shall have eternal life, shall not perish. And God, to live and to walk and to move. And we come to the point in Psalm 119 where we learn to really love and love and love thy law, thy word, thy instructions, thy precepts, thy commands, everything, God. Oh, how happy our hearts are. How full of joy and gladness. And our life just becomes an explosion of ministry in the wonderful kingdom of God. God, and everyone in here this morning, Lord, I pray the fullness, and as John prays, and of his fullness we received, his fullness of grace and glory. Bless the kids, bless the youth, bless all young adults, bless all the rest of us, and God, to your name be praised. And God, one day you're going to call us. For you may call any one of us out at any moment, even yet today. But God, when we hear that call, and there's going to be no argument whatsoever, our hearts are going to take flight with great joy. I'm going home to my Jesus. Heaven awaits me, and I'm on my way. Let it be so in all of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for you made it all possible and real. In Jesus we pray. And together we say, amen, amen. Go in peace. Go in peace. Oh, no, you can't go in peace. You've got to sit down. Sunday school. You see? You thank my wife when you see her. Her voice I heard. Here's our kids. Here we go. Hey, this is so huge in the life of our kids. It's beautiful. Sunday school promo. How many remember going to Sunday school when you were kids? Did you stop going to Sunday school? Don't stop going to Sunday school. We're still kids.
Are we on? Yeah. Good morning. This is our Promotion Sunday. For those that may not know what Promotion Sunday is, well, we recognize all of our children for their Sunday school attendance, and then some of our kids will be advancing to the next Sunday school class. And I think some of them are excited. I see some big eyes. Are you excited? Yeah, they get excited to go to the next classroom. It's a big thing to move on. And we have some that are moving out of youth group, which always makes me sad. I was thinking as I was preparing for this and going through the list and looking at all the names and who was moving on, and I started to think about all the kids. And I've been in children's ministry. This is 13 years. So that's not, some of you have been in teaching children much longer than that, but over 13 years, I was thinking back to all the kids that I've seen go through, and I see them now and what they're doing, and they're in college, and they have jobs, and they have careers, and I had to sit for a little bit and just, you know, cry. But thank God for what this church has as Sunday school leaders and teachers and the ministry that has been in this church. I grew up in this church. I came through this Sunday school, so I know that there's been powerful teaching here. So thank you for all of those who have served in Sunday school, those who have served in our Ignite teaching. I thank you, and God bless all of you for that. So we're just going to get started. Someone from the nursery, Kirsten, you want to come up and do nursery?